Isaiah chapter 40. And look with me as you get there in verses 28 and following. This will be our text here for this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 40. And beginning in verse 28. Let's read here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to speak to you this afternoon on this subject, power for the faint. Power for the faint. Let's pray. Father, would you give us instruction now? And Father, I pray that you'd help us and encourage us in our daily living. And Father, understand that we need your strength. And Father, we need your power. And victory is only found in the Lord. And it's not by my strength or by my might, but it's by the power of God, and that we can accomplish anything. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us now with these principles and these truths, and Lord, help us to apply them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in the context here of these verses, we find that Isaiah is bringing a message of hope, a message of peace from the Lord to the nation of Israel. The message that Isaiah brought typically to the nation of Israel was one of judgment. And God told him, this is what you're going to say, and this is what you're, how the people are going to respond. And the people probably aren't going to listen to you. And so typically that message was one of judgment. But here we find in this context, it's a message of peace from the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 of this chapter actually set the stage for this message that God gives to Israel through the mouth of Isaiah, this message of mercy. Verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And we will talk about more of this along the way, I guess, but this message of mercy, this message of peace, does come on the heels, though, of prophesying of coming judgment and Israel going into Babylonian captivity and all of that. But all along, or along with this message of judgment that God gives, God always gives a message of hope. And that's the way it was with the nation of Israel. God would judge them, but God always said that there's going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a message of hope for those that would obey, those that would hear. And verses 9 through 11, look there with me in chapter 40 here. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Here again, we see this message of hope and this message of deliverance for Israel. And you get to the end of the chapter, and we continue on in this vein of this message of hope and message of deliverance, but it comes with a question. And the question is in verse 28, where Isaiah says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. The question is, hast thou not known? And the answer to the question was, of course Israel knew. Of course Israel knew the strength and the power of God. I mean, look at what the Lord had done for them.
bringing them out of Egypt and leading with a pillar of fire and a cloud and miracle after miracle, water in the desert, you know, striking the rock and probably upwards of 2 to 3 million people plus cattle receiving you know, enough water and food and all of the things that the Lord had done, delivering them over and over again. Of course they knew the power of God. But they needed a reminder of how great the Lord was and how much the Lord cared for them. Look in verse 29. He says here, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." We read, here's a demonstration of his care and his concern for those who are weary, those who are fainting. We read in verses 9 through 11 how in verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Here is, again, the reminder for the nation of Israel how much they needed the Lord, how much he cared for them. But also, how much they needed to trust in him. Look in verse 30. Verse 30 said, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Your own strength, youth, and vitality and vigor, it's going to fail. But God doesn't. His strength is everlasting. You need to trust him. And this is what I would like for us to focus on for a few minutes here this afternoon. Again, the title of the message is Power for the Faint. And you know, for the saint of God, for us, you and me, there's so much of the goodness of God that is revealed in his word. And we say, "Oh, I know that, Pastor," but there's so much of it that is unrealized by us. There's so much of the goodness of God and that is revealed to us in his word that we have as of yet, you know, failed to understand it and then profit by it. And the question that was asked to the nation of Israel, "Hast thou not known?" That's a good question for us to be asked today. "Hast thou not known?" is a good question for you and for me. Sometimes we need a reminder of really how much we need the Lord. We need a reminder of how inadequate we really are. And how much is available to us if we would only trust in the Lord. And we need to not rely on our own strength and our own abilities, but to trust in the Lord. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this here this afternoon. Father, would you bless now and encourage our hearts and remind us. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help us to move forward. Father, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. And Father, to be able to gain victories and gain higher ground in our walk with the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first of all, just three simple principles here for us this afternoon. First of all, we see in verse 29 the need of power. The need of power. Verse 29 says, verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." He speaks of the need of power here because he knows how much we need it when we don't realize how much we need it ourselves. You ever known that about yourself? That you don't really know all that you don't know, and you don't really know how weak you really are, and we get this wrong image of how we might think we're prospering, but in actuality we're not. Sometimes there are struggles that we face and so on, and there's a little bit of frustration because I just got to get a handle on this thing, and we don't realize how much we actually need the Lord and how weak we really are and inadequate we really are. The problem, again, is often that we don't really know how much we need his power. We don't remember that. And listen, it's for a lack of power that we faint and that we have no might. and that were weary. It's a lack of power that caused the young men who are strong in their youth to utterly fall. As verse 30 says, listen, if we had the power, we wouldn't faint. But I think there's a lot of Christians who are, quote, fainting today in their Christian life because of an inability to overcome, you know, the powers of this current world and the current evils that are around us. You know, there's an unhealthy and there's a wicked and an immoral world that is out there. We would all say, yes, we know that. But so often, that atmosphere we allow into our life. And that atmosphere of the world and those things makes it difficult for a man, for a lady, for a person who has it in their mind that they want to be spiritual. It makes it almost impossible for us to breathe when we let that atmosphere into our life. You know, I've told you the story before that there's no real shopping malls around here anyway, so it's not necessarily a problem. But I used to not go to the shopping mall, at least to the one section of the shopping mall, on purpose, because I knew that if I went to this particular store through this way through the mall, I'd have to walk right by the Victoria's Secret store that has this giant, more than life-size, picture in the window of a woman who's unclothed. And you know the thing about that kind of this, the way that the world is, we're just inundated with it all the time. And there are things that if we're not careful or if we're not on purpose about, they are going to influence our life. And we make decisions on purpose. We need to make decisions on purpose to not be a part of that. I'm not going to go near it. I don't even want to be tempted by it. I'm just going to stay away from it. But how often do we let that stuff come into our home and into our life? And then we have struggles. And we wonder why we have struggles. And we don't seem to be able to gain victory over certain things. Well, why do you think that is? We don't have any power because of this immoral, unhealthy, and wicked world that makes it difficult for us. Because what happens? That stuff feeds the flesh, right? And we're always constantly needing to fight the flesh. If you're a child of God who wants to be spiritual, you are going to have it in your mind that I need to be fighting my flesh. Okay? Plain and simple. You can say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you're wrong if you don't agree with it, because that's the Word of God. We need to fight our flesh if we're going to be spiritual. Because those two, the spiritual man and the fleshly man, the old man, they do not get along, and they never ever will. The things of God, they have no connection with the unfruitful works of darkness. But do you ever get weary and tired of fighting your flesh? You understand what I'm talking about here? Talking about the need of power. Hey, I want to be spiritually minded. I want to love the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. But I've got this old man, the old sinful nature that's there, and I'm constantly fighting him, but I get weary and I get tired. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 7, didn't he? He said, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. The things that I really do want to do, those are the things that I don't do. Back and forth. And he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, Romans chapter 6, Paul also said that ye are servants to whom ye yield yourselves. I get tired and weary of constantly fighting my tendency to sin, which is just another reminder of how much we need the power of God, and we need the Holy Spirit's power in our daily life. Do you claim it? Do you ask for it? Do you start your day, Lord, I want to give my day to you. I want to give my life to you today. Lord, I pray that you'd give me your power today to control this thought life. Lord, give me your power today to say no to the temptations to sin. Lord, I want to walk with you today. Help me to think right today. Do you start your day like that? It's available. It's there. We need it. You know what? As a young Christian, I remember, wasn't saved until I was 19 years old, but I remember the life that I lived before salvation, and I remember right after I was saved as a young man in the Lord, a young Christian, man, everything was brand new. Man, life was good. I was full of zeal and full of life, and I want nothing to do with the old flesh and the old life of sin. And it was all, yes, you know, just there's nothing that could conquer you. And that's good for a while. It lasted for a while until the old man started to creep back in again. Our text here says that even the young men will utterly fall. Even youthful zeal, even young men in the Lord, without God's power, will utterly fall. We need to remember how much we need the power of God in our daily life and in the life of this church. We need regular spiritual renewal. You know, people have struggles. Maybe it's character struggles. And you know, there's this area of your life that is not what it should be. You've been convicted of it many, many times before. You've tried to fix this and work on this many, many, many times before. And these struggles become wearisome because we can't overcome them. And they're a constant fight and a constant battle. And why can't I get a handle on this thing? Well, we're never going to by our own power, by our own strength. We need to have God's power to change. We need to have God's power to be strong. And so he talks about the need of power here. He giveth power to the faint, those that are fainting, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. But then we need to look at the second principle, and that is the nature of power. Verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Even in youthful zeal and strength, those people are going to fall. But that's the need of power. But what about the nature of power? He says here in verse 29 is, he giveth power. In verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, power for doing right and power for living a right life, and even power for service, that's not something that we put on. It's not something like, okay, all right, I'm going to go down to the store and I'm going to buy some power, you know, so I can do this thing. It's not like taking a health food supplement, you know. I need a little more energy and a little more strength, so I need a little more power. It's not something that we put on. Power is something that enters our being and it brings with it increased ability. Listen, I say that only to say this. Power does not reside in us. The power resides in the life of God. Let me say it again. Think about this with me because this is important. Power resides in the life of God. We need power, right? That means that if we're going to have power, we need more of God. Does that make sense? It's not something we put on. It's something the Lord gives. And if we're going to have the power, we need more of Him. This power is not new resolve. It's not trying harder. It's not youthful vigor. It's not renewed enthusiasm. Okay, this time we're going to get it. We've got this now. If we're going to have power, and if we're going to have victory, it's going to be because God has come in, and God has come close, and God has come in a mightier measure, and His presence has manifested itself more fully in your life. Not because we have some renewed vigor or strength. that certainly may be a result of the power of God, but it's not the source. It's not trying harder to fix this problem. It's not trying, again and again to fix this problem, whatever the issue is. You know, in the book of Acts, that first church, when they prayed, the presence of God was known. And when the presence of God was known, the place was shaken. I think that's what we need in our life, is we need the presence of God in order to shake us up. It's not trying harder to fix this problem. It's not doing it again and again. It's saying, Lord, I need your power, and I need you to manifest yourself more abundantly in my life. That's how we gain victory. Well, then we come to verse 31. Not only do we see the need of power and the nature of power here, but the last thing is we see the condition of power. How do we get this power to have the right kind of living? How do we get this power to gain victory in our Christian life? Well, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." What is the condition of this power? Well, the Bible says here, they that wait upon the Lord. This waiting upon the Lord needs to be interpreted as an honest confession, meaning that, hey, I realize that there has been a fainting in the past, and I realize that there has been failures in the past, and that I can't do this. I need something else. And so the message is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what this word wait means? It's not this. Hey, what are you doing? I'm waiting. What are you doing? I'm waiting for the bus to come by and pick me up. I'm waiting on the Lord. That's not what that is. That's not what it means. You know what that word means? That word wait means to bind together. It means to wrap around. So those that wait upon the Lord, that bind themselves together, that wrap around the Lord, shall renew their strength. How do we get this power? By binding ourselves to the Lord, by wrapping ourselves around the Lord, the source of power. Like I said, it's not something that we put on. It's something that comes in as the Spirit of God and the presence of God manifests Himself in our life. How does the presence of God manifest Himself in our life? By us drawing closer to Him. That is the victory. We need to draw close to the Lord. What happens when we draw close to Him? Well, verse 31 says, they that wait or wrap themselves around and bind themselves upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, we might read that and think, oh, okay. So that means that if I wrap myself around the Lord and draw close to the Lord, all of a sudden I have more energy and more strength. My strength is renewed. That's not what it means. You know what that word renew means? It means to slide by. It means to abolish. It means to cut off. Think about that. Those that wrap themselves around the Lord shall what? Abolish and cut off and slide by their own strength. Wow, here we go. Now whose power are we operating in? Whose strength are we operating on? The Lord's power. The Lord's strength. It means that if I'm going to draw close to the Lord, I am going to recognize my own sinfulness and my own tendencies, and I'm going to recognize how frail and weak I am and how pathetic it is for me to even try. I'm done with my own strength. I need the Lord's. I have His. Listen, when we draw close to the Lord, automatically with that, if you've ever drawn close to the Lord before in your Christian life, automatically withdrawing close to the Lord means getting and seeing a new revelation of who I am. When we see the Lord, we see how sinful we are. The times that I have been the closest to the Lord, or that I've experienced the presence of God and drawing close to the Lord, what comes with it is humility. Number one, that God would even manifest Himself to me. But number two, because I see how undeserving I am because of how wicked I am and how sinful I am. Well, when we draw close to the Lord, we see our sin, and then we must confess it. I think that's going to prove how much we actually want God's presence in our life, if we're willing to see ourselves and confess our sin and admit we're wrong. And we start to see how weak and frail we really are and how much we really need Him. We humble ourselves before Him. We seek His face. Lord, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I fail. I struggle. I've tried. I need Your strength. And we're humbled and we seek the Lord. That is what opens up the way for Him to come into our midst in a mightier and greater measure. And it revives us. It renews us, sliding past our own strength. It empowers us to gain victory. Folks, whenever there's struggles in our Christian life, maybe things we can't get a handle on or frustrations, you know, we don't need to pray for more fervency and more zeal. Lord, I'm going to try harder. That's not what we need to pray for. We need to draw close to the Lord. And we need to ask Him to manifest Himself in our midst by drawing us close to Him, confessing our sin, confessing our weaknesses, and seeking His presence. That's where the victory is. And I know how it is. There are character flaws. If you're honest with yourself, you'll say, I've got character flaws, and there are things that are problems that I know are not right. And I want them to be right. If you have a desire to please the Lord, that is going to be your heart. I want these things to be right. I know that I fail miserably in this, and I've tried in vain many times to gain victory over this. We don't need to be praying, Lord, I'll try harder. Give me more. No, we don't need to pray for more zeal. We simply need to slide past our own strength by wrapping ourselves around more and more and more of the Lord. Get in your Bible. Read God's Word. Apply God's Word. Pray. Draw close to God. Confess the sin. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with Him. Take a good look. That's where the victory is going to be found. That's the point that we're going to have renewed enthusiasm as we experience the very real presence of God in our life and the life of this church. There's power for the faint. It's available. But there's a condition. You got to draw close to the Lord. And you got to move past your own strength. And God gives victory. Isn't that what we really want? If we're conscientious children of God who actually have a desire to be right with the Lord, isn't that what we want? Victory? Isn't that what we want, to be close to Him, to please Him? Well, it comes with a condition. And there's so much that is available to us that I think we miss out on because we just keep trying so hard with the wrong strength. Draw close to the Lord, amen? That's where the power is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these principles, these truths, and they can be encouraging and they can be renewing all at the same time when we begin to see them for what they are. That victory is rest with the power of God. But to have the power of God means that we have to have His presence. In order to have His presence, we need to draw close to Him. And then we'll leave off of our own strength. We'll cling to the strength of God. And then we find victory, and then we find power, and we find progress and joy. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage your people. Maybe there's one or two who've have some struggles in their life even now, and things they battle with regularly and never can seem to find real victory over it. Lord, I pray that these principles would be a blessing to them and a reminder to them of what is available if we just draw close to the Lord. Bless your people. Bless this church. Help us to glorify you and honor you. And thank you, Lord, for the day. In Jesus' name, amen.